Reading Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise from the city gate. Let's bow our hearts and ask God's blessing on the sharing of the word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again for your faithfulness, which the Bible says is new every morning. We are thankful because you are here today. We're thankful for your word. And as we look to your word, we pray for your anointing, God, to rest mightily upon us. Speak to our hearts, Lord, not just to the mothers. We pray a special blessing, encouragement to them. But speak to all of us today, God, that we might know you in a deeper way and be more like you in every aspect of our lives. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I noticed this past week on one of the morning news programs that for some reason someone got the idea to estimate the salary of the average housewife, taking account of everything that they do, the cooking, the cleaning, the traveling, and so on and so forth. Not that guys shouldn't do that. We should be a help, of course, to our spouses, and we're a team, but bless God. But they put that in, and they came up with the figure of an annual income of about $122,000 a year. Now, I don't know how they came up with that figure, but that was the figure. And I actually heard that from a number of sources, probably the same studies. And, you know, that sounds like, well, hey, where can I get a job like that? And that sounds pretty good to me. But by biblical standards, that pay is actually low. Once again, our text, the Bible says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. That's an underestimate. That's a cheap estimate of the value of a godly wife and mother. However, I do think that was a good exercise, and it shows that mothers are valuable and contribute much to the home. Now, not for one minute do I think that we have lost virtuous women, godly wives and mothers in our society. I think there are still a wealth of them today. But I think one evidence of that is you ladies who are here today. God bless you. You're a blessing not only to your families, but you've been a blessing to me. And I appreciate you so much. There are many godly women, but one of the things that I think we've lost as a society is the value of a godly woman. An appreciation of what a woman of virtue truly is. And so my prayer today is that the Spirit of the Lord would rekindle within all of our hearts the value of a virtuous woman. And in order to truly appreciate the value of a godly mother and a godly wife or a virtuous woman, we must truly appreciate true beauty. Now, you might believe this or not, but I am not an art connoisseur. I couldn't tell you. I can tell you if a picture looks good to me, but I couldn't tell you if a picture was good art or not. In fact, I've seen some pictures which people have spent much money on, which I wouldn't give you the price of a cup of coffee for it. I don't think it's very attractive. I don't think it would look nice in my home. I wouldn't want it. But there's a beauty there that some who have an appreciation that I don't have that is highly valuable, and so some of these paintings can go for hundreds of thousands of dollars, even more. And I think such it is with true beauty today. When we think of beauty, I think for the most part, the first thing that pops into a person's mind when they hear the word beauty is physical attractiveness. We've all heard that saying that beauty is just skin deep. And you know, attractiveness is something to be said for that. It wasn't my wife's report card that first got me interested in her. Or I heard she's very punctual. I think I might want to get to know her a little bit better. There is something to be said, but you know, there's so much beyond that. As far as beauty, in fact, I think we need to be careful not to allow society to dictate what physical beauty is. Let me tell you, physical beauty isn't it what is in magazines and what's in Hollywood, because most of that isn't real. What magazines don't touch up, plastic surgeons do. And I think there's actually a kind of a sickness. It's funny, but it's true. There's a sickness in our society where we worship the body through plastic surgery and through just spending overt amounts of time on the physical body. But true beauty goes beyond the physical. It's a beauty of the heart. In fact, without true beauty, the beauty of heart or the beauty of character, physical beauty really is nothing. In fact, someone who would be considered physically beautiful, but who is ugly in spirit, is ugly to the bone. But true beauty, and we'll talk about the details of this shortly, is that which encompasses godliness, virtue, and compassion. And we can say with confidence that these things are beautiful. Why? Because universally, a godly woman, a virtuous woman, a compassionate woman brings joy to everyone. Who doesn't godliness bring joy to? Who does not compassion bring joy and inspiration to? It brings joy, it brings a smile, it brings appreciation to everyone. And unlike physical beauty, spiritual beauty, true beauty, is something that never fades, or at least never has to fade. We don't have to worry about the wrinkles of virtue, of compassion coming in and taking away, because it's something the Spirit of God, if we allow Him, will renew in us daily. And so in a society where women are taught to hate their opinion, their appearance, that they never measure up, may we all realize that with God's help, Every daughter of Christ, everyone can become a true and perfect example of godly beauty. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think this is a message not only important for women, in that virtue is the path to true beauty, but it's a message to the young men who are out there, and I know there are a few. A true marriage, true happiness in marriage doesn't come by getting that trophy wife, that lady who just looks like, you know, she just walked off the red carpet or walked off the beauty pageant. In fact, if that was the case, most marriages of the starlets in Hollywood would last forever. Let me tell you, young men, if you are not married today, be sure, and the choice is yours. God will lead you to the person that He wants you to marry, but the choice will be yours. He will not make that decision for you. Make sure that the things you are looking for are things of truth and things of eternal beauty. Some of the things that men look for in women today are, of course, sheer physical beauty. Someone who just stops the crowd and stops time so everyone can just behold her. Others, believe it or not, marry for money. Others marry for prestige. It's a way to move up socially on mankind's social ladder. There are even those who are out there who feel the need, because of their own insecurity or for whatever reason, to look for someone who is ultra submissive. A woman whom we could describe with a personality, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but just as far as to make the illustration, as a doormat, so that they can just control them. I can control every move they make. These are all wrong reasons to get married. It won't lead to happiness because none of those things can contain true beauty. When you marry true beauty, virtue, compassion, godliness, you, despite age, despite hardship, despite anything that might come your way, you will find yourself falling in love over and over and over again with that person. Because each day you look at that person, you'll see that thing of beauty. And if she's truly a godly and a virtuous woman, that beauty will be increasing in her life. And it will move you to a place of satisfaction in your relationship that you will not be able to have otherwise. Of course, true beauty is a message that us older married men need to have. Because there is a temptation when looks begin to fade, and they do. When familiarity sets in, when we're used to each other's patterns and different things, we see each other not only at our best, but also at our worst. We get our eyes off where they should be and our eyes on things or people that they should not be. Let me tell you, man, this morning, whether married man, don't fall under the lie or the deception that it's okay to look. That if I just think about it, that's okay. That's a lie, and it's wrong. And you're opening up the door to pain and sorrow and the ruining of one of the best gifts that God has given you, your wife, your home, and your family. As the book of James puts it, I believe, I don't have it before me, in James chapter 2, lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it has finally finished its course, brings forth destruction. Keep your eyes on your wife. Let me tell you, and I don't mean to get on hobby horses this morning, But this is increasingly difficult in our overly sex-obsessed society where you can't look anywhere without seeing some half-dressed, provocatively posed woman inviting you to lust with your heart, your mind, your spirit. We need to be reminded of what true beauty is, so that when we find it, we have it, we cherish it, we nurture it. We, as Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, we protect it. Love protects all things. And we never, ever, ever, ever let it go in the name of Jesus. Well, what is true beauty? Well, you know, we can look, we're going to look beyond the obvious. There are some things in the text that we can talk about. True beauty is described by this wonderful portion of Scripture in Proverbs 31. Hardworking, industrious, wise. And let me just say one thing about wisdom. Wisdom, for some people in the body of Christ, some people feel that wisdom is something that's for other people and not for them. Let me tell you, if that be the case, then God's a liar, and I know that God's not a liar. If any ask for wisdom, God will grant to them. That's what James chapter 1, verse 5. And mother, you may not have had a college education. You might not be able to spell as well as someone. You not, might not be as well-spoken. You might not have received promotion and an accolade at your job or other thing, but you can be as wise as Solomon himself, because the Word of God tells us if any man, and when it says man, it means mankind and not just the male gender. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. You can possess, and with great resource, abundance, wisdom in your life. Beauty is also described as being well prepared. And of course, the greatest aspect of beauty is being one who fears God. But I'd like to just step back and look at three general qualities of true beauty that we get from this portion of Scripture that godly mothers and wives need to strive for, and that godly men need to appreciate in them, in the name of Jesus. The first is the quality of selflessness. When I read that Scripture, I see that the woman of God is all about everyone but herself. She's looking after her husband. She's looking after her children. She's looking after her servant girls. She's looking after the needy. She's looking after her household. She's looking after everything and everybody. But the one person we don't see her worrying about or fussing over is who? Herself. It's all about her husband, her children, her home. And let me tell you, the home is a very, very important place. And let me tell you, wife, one of the best ways that you can minister to your husband and children is making sure that your home is a warm and inviting and comfortable and nurturing place. Because I can tell you as a husband and as a man, there are times where I just want to hide from it all. And I can hide from it all in my home. My wife has provided for me. It's an act of love. The home is important, not just a house, but a home. Now, this is valuable for obvious reasons. We have a godly mother, a godly wife who puts everyone first. We don't have to ever worry. There's a knowledge that there's always somebody in the flesh who is always there. What a wealth that is. What a blessing that is. And I hate to say it, I don't mean to get off the subject, but I've seen men who have had that with women who love them, who are devoted to them. who are at the point they almost worship the ground that they walked on, and then for some young thing came their way that turned their head, and they left all that. True beauty, knowing that there's always someone there who's putting you first, loving, supporting, and encouraging. Now, talking to the mothers this morning, let me tell you, this is a message to men too, because husbands, we've been called to love our wives, amen? This isn't just a one-way street, so this is something that we've been called to do. In fact, if we have a giving relationship, husbands and wives, that's where we reach that true place of satisfaction in the holy name of Jesus. But let me tell you, that is a tall order. It's not, I don't want to say normal, I'll say natural. It is not natural to put everyone else first and not ourselves, at least not all the time. It's something that you can't pretend. Sometimes we do that with Scripture, don't we? You ever do that with Scripture? You read something? The way you're supposed to be as far as your behavior or your attitude. And so because of your behavior and because it doesn't measure up, well, you start doing those things, but it's not really in your heart, and you try hard, and for a while it works, but eventually, because your heart's not in it, it breaks and it falls through. So this is something that has to come genuinely from our heart. So how does a godly mother, and this is a calling not from me, but from God upon your life, a godly spouse, how does she reach this place of selflessness? Well, I think one way, or one solution, is to find one's satisfaction not in one's own goals, but in the goals of your spouse and of your children. I'm happy. It seems cliche. It seems like something you might read in a Hallmark card. But it's something that Scripture is teaching godly mothers and godly women. I truly reach a place of happiness when I know my husband is happy and my children are happy. And not just a faux happiness. Well, you know, I'm happy. Genuine happiness. Genuine satisfaction. Genuine fulfillment. It doesn't go over well today, but it is Scripture. The book of Titus says women are to be keepers at home, which means their home is something that they should find joy and satisfaction in when everything is running the way that it's supposed to. Don't deny it aloud in your life. That's how God has created you, and you'll find great joy in that. In the name of Jesus. Okay, well, that's one step. How then can I get to that place of satisfaction and relishing in the joys of my husband and of my children? And finding satisfaction in their completeness as opposed to my own. We love by being filled with love. Selfless love can only be fulfilled in our lives as weak and as fleshly people. And this is both, part of this message is both to men and women, because husbands, we've been called to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. So women, I'm not just saying this is solely on you. This is on, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Under great conviction. Selfless love demonstrated. Calvary, Christ giving himself. No reason but for us, that we might be redeemed. And when we experience the love of the Father in our lives, we cultivate the love of Jesus within our hearts, then we can reach that genuine place of selflessness where putting others before ourselves isn't a chore, but a joy. In the name of Jesus. Secondly, this morning, in the scripture we see that godly spouses and mothers are spiritually challenging. And I don't mean they try your patience. I knew what I was going to say in that, and then all of a sudden I just read that now. I don't want anyone to misconstrue what I was thinking. But what a godly wife and a mother does is challenge a husband or a child to rise above where they are in Jesus to a higher place. This woman that King Lemuel talks about in Proverbs chapter 31 isn't someone who's just about her family. She's about ministering to others in the name of the Lord. Verse 20 says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Not only is she someone who gives to her family, she is an example to them how they are to live. As people who are giving, she's challenging her sons, her daughters, her husband, to rise above the mediocrity of your spiritual walk, the stagnation you might be in, and grow deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is valuable. And this is important. Why? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need Jesus, but we need one another to spur one another on to be more like Him. One of the worst things that can happen to your personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is complacency, is being satisfied where you are at right now in your relationship with Jesus. Your maturity, the manifestation of the presence of God in your life, your knowledge of Him, the working of the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. Because complacency leads to stagnation, a place where there's not only no movement, is a place of death. And just as stagnant water is no good, if you drink it, you will die or get sick. So a stagnant spirit likewise is the same. If you're not building on your relationship with Jesus, I fear for your relationship with Jesus. I seriously do. Because God desires that it become more and more. And if you just allow it to stay in one place, there'll be the temptation in your human nature to lose interest in the lover of your soul and to fall back into the things of the world. It's true, it's happened. But a godly spouse spur you on, as iron sharpens iron, spur you on, encourage you to maintain that spiritually vibrant life. Ladies, your husbands need to know that you're strong and mature. You need to be spiritually strong and mature for them, and you need to let them know how spiritually strong and mature you are, not in a prideful or boastful way, but in a beautiful, humble way that spurs us, sometimes thick-headed men. And husbands, when we see our wives moving forward with Jesus, we need to stamp on jealousy in the holy name of Jesus. She shouldn't be more spiritual than I am. She shouldn't be more prayerful than I am. She shouldn't know more of the Bible than I do. She shouldn't be more graceful and compassionate and so on than I am. And so undermine her with words or actions. We should value that as a gift from God, as a calling. They become more than who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Encourage your wife. I remember Fillmore, and I think he was preaching. You remember Fillmore, a young pastor? Remember him? He's up in Maine. Poor guy. I don't mean that about Maine, but he's in a situation where he just needs our prayers. And God's going to bring him through it, but it's just one of those things you got to go through. But I remember him saying once at the beginning of the service, he said, you know, he came home. His interest was when he came home, his wife's stay-at-home mom wasn't if, you know, all these chores and things had to be done, but whether or not you spent time with Jesus. And if you hadn't, let me take the baby so you can. That just really ministered to me. And may that be part of all of our credo as husbands. Amen. And our wives grow. It's important for her, but it's also important for you. Thirdly, and once again, this is another two-way street. One of the things that we see here that's notable in godly wife and mother, something that exudes true beauty, is respect towards the husband. Respect towards the husband. Let me tell you, one of the most important things a wife can demonstrate towards her husband is respect. It's so important that it's in Scripture for us. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For as the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is a Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Talking about the disposition of respect that wives are to have towards their husbands. And this is indicated in several scriptures in our text this morning. Verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of her. Verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. True beauty has respect for the husband. One reason is it's a need that husbands have. Here's a feeling. I'm going to touch your shoulder, Nigel, because you're here, and that's the only reason. But, you know, husbands, we got egos, and this might be probably a greater Adamic curse on the male, on mankind rather than female kind. But ego is very important to man. And that's why in this scripture, and in the latter part of that scripture, once again, wives are to respect their husbands, Ephesians 5. Godly wives are told to respect their husbands. It is a need that is in their lives. And if it's not there, their husband will struggle. They will struggle. It will be tough on the dynamic of their marriage relationship. And it will also be struggle as far as other areas in their lives. Because our ego, our confidence is a big part of who we are as men. If we don't have it at home, the place that is closest to us, the place that we should expect it the most from, then it's difficult for us to expect it from other areas. But it's also important for children. What's one of the biggest scourges that is afflicting our society today? I'll tell you what it is. There's no respect for authority. None whatsoever. You know, kid, you say something to a kid, who are you? Well, I'm an adult. You should respect me because I'm an adult. But that, for the most part, is absent from our society today. Why is it? Because husbands in the home, husbands have been portrayed as buffoons, as idiots. You don't watch any of these programs. And I hope you don't either. I don't know if any of you do. I don't think they're particularly edifying. But there's a number of adult cartoons One that comes to mind is The Simpsons. And there are other ones. I don't even know what the names are. I don't even like the ads for them. And the male character, Homer Simpson, what do you think of when you think of Homer Simpson? A big dope. Someone who should not be respected. What are children being taught about in the home as far as respecting authority, respecting the father? What are they being taught about in your home? A lot will be learned by your children and how you relate or what your disposition is to your spouse. Now, on one hand, and I hate to see this, and I see this far too often, when wives, and this is, again, a two-way street, but, you know, it's Mother's Day, so. But when I hear wives talk down about their husbands publicly, you know, say something about how lazy they are, or say something about how inattentive they are, insensitive, or what a failure they are as a father, or so forth. Sometimes it comes across as a joke. And, you know, a little joke here and there that's not serious is okay, but a preponderance of words that tear down the husband rather than lift them up in public should not be. In fact, Jesus said, brothers, blessings and cursings coming out of the same mouth, it should not be. Respect. And what evidence of respect out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, is how we speak about our spouses in public. Do we speak well of them? I know they're not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But they're a gift of God from you. And as such, and as since they are from God, they should be respected with your speech. Now, let me take this just a step further. Some people are respectful to their spouse in public, but in private, they are disrespectful. And that is equally as bad in my personal opinion. We need to, in our speech to one another, be respectful. If you were to come to stand before a judge, you would be very respectful to him in everything you said. Why? Because he is authority. Not only is he authority, but if he's in the right mood, he can slap you with a big fine or a big prison sentence. But we lose that respect when we're talking with one another. We make sly comments. They don't need to be there. We say things to each other to hurt, to wound, to tear down. Let me tell you, yes, the wounds of a friend are faithful. We should be, you know, we should be open and able to lovingly criticize one another, but not tear down and malign one another with words. True beauty contains within it the disposition of respect when speaking with one another in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, wife, and I got it right here. I give this to married couples or people who are going to be married. If you respect your husband, 9 times out of 10, unless he's, you know, living far from God and unopened to the Holy Spirit moving and working in his life, you respect your husband, the Lord is going to make him love you like you want to be loved in the holy name of Jesus. Why? Because that's what God's word says. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands in the name of Jesus. I'd like our musicians to come this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as far as who needs to be a more godly wife this morning or who needs to appreciate their wives more than they have been. Or I dare say, if we're honest, we all need to be more godly. We all need to have more love and compassion. We all need to have more respect towards one another. We all need to appreciate one another. Husbands, we need to appreciate our wives more than we do. So I'm just going to ask us all to stand, and we're going to pray. In the holy name of Jesus. We're going to pray. We're going to thank God for this gift of motherhood. Amen? It's a wonderful gift. And we're going to pray that every mother or every potential mother that's here, and let me tell you, don't let the devil beat you down by saying you're a terrible mother. Let me tell you, God has appreciated you, mother. If you were a terrible mother, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't have brought your children. You're not a perfect mother. I know that. God knows that. None of us are. I'm not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect pastor. But God loves you. And God appreciates your faithfulness and all the hard work that you've been pouring and all the selflessness you've been pouring into your family. In fact, let me just say a word right now. There may be someone here who's just, you felt like you've been toiling as the Proverbs 31 woman, yet you have not received any of the benefits from it. Let me tell you, God has noticed every action, every deed that you have done, and you will not go unrewarded. I'm not saying your reward will be in this life, and it may be. Your husband might have an awakening, and I pray that he does. And all of a sudden, he wakes up and truly realizes the thing of beauty that he has before him in you. But if that doesn't happen, let me tell you, there's a Father up in heaven who has a book, and he's writing all these things down. And when you stand before God, as you've been faithful as this godly, virtuous woman, the Bible says you'll be able to hold your head high. Because you're going to hear the words from the Lord Jesus Christ, our King and also our Judge. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. In the holy name of Jesus, God will honor you. And if he doesn't honor you in the marriage, don't give up believing. If he doesn't honor you in the marriage, he's going to bless you in other ways in the name of Jesus. Because I have found that if you honor God, God will honor you in Jesus' precious name. We're going to pray, and every one of you mothers who are here, and every one of you potential mothers can become as full of...